week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday and happy July. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Samson Omale begins a new month with an extra spicy package of African sports news that kicks off in Morocco. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports highlights for this weekend with the 2022 Africa Women's Cup of Nations scheduled to begin from the 2nd to the 23rd of July in Morocco in two of the world's most famous cities, Casablanca and Rabat. The tournament also doubles as the Africa qualifiers to the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, with the top four teams and two more teams advancing to the Inter-Confederation playoffs. Defending champions Nigeria will be hoping to win the title for a record 10th time. The Super Falcons will open their 2022 WAFCON campaign just as they ended the last edition against 2018 runners-up Banyana Banyana of South Africa, having been pitted in Group C alongside Botswana and Burundi. Asisat Oshoala, the 2014 WAFCON best player, says they are already looking beyond the Morocco tournament as they hope to qualify for the World Cup.
I think the most important thing is to make sure we get a ticket to the World Cup. That's the primary aim, to qualify for the World Cup. And then also possibly to win the tournament. It's one of the goals we have going into this tournament as a team. And personally, as an individual, I just want to be better than the last tournament. That's all.
Banyana Banyana coach Desiree Ellis says they will be gunning to win the Women's Africa Cup of Nations for the first time in their history.
2018 has shown us what we're capable of, but history means nothing. So we'll really have to go out there and do the job, because the objective is to qualify for the World Cup, but also to get that elusive gold medal.
Staying with the WAFCON tournament, Zambia Copper Queens are scheduled to square up against the Lionesses of Cameroon on Sunday. Copper Queens midfielder Maweta Chilenga says their goal is to go to the World Cup.
It's going to be hard, but we're well prepared. Having played Cameroon in the previous qualifiers for the Olympics, we know how they are. We've been watching them. We're very much prepared for them. Our goal is to go to the World Cup. This tournament is just a roadmap to the World Cup.
For her part, the Lionesses of Cameroon attacker Nchot Njoya Ajara, who plays for Inter Milan, is confident that Cameroon has a crop of young players who are determined to make Cameroon the third nation to win the Women African Cup of Nations.
Now we have many players, they are very young, so we are going there to give all our best to bring Africa Cup at home. We have a very good mentality, we just go tomorrow, show what we learned from the training and give our best.
Away from women's football, the first list of nominees for the CAF Awards 2022 has been released by the Continental Football Governing Body, CAF. The nominees are mainly for the men's categories, namely Player of the Year, Interclub Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, National Team of the Year, and Club of the Year. The nominees for the women's categories will be announced in due course. Some of the players who made the men's Player of the Year nominees include Riyad Mahrez, Bertrand Traore, Andre Frank Zambo, Angusia, Carl Tanko Akambi, Vincent Abubakar, Frank Kisei, Sebastian Haller, Mohamed El Neni, Mohamed Salah, Moussa Barrow, Naby Keita, Vez Bersoma, Ashraf Hakimi, Edward Mendy, Kalidou Koulibaly, and Sadio Mane. The CAF Awards 2022 will be held on the 21st of July 2022 in Rabat, Morocco. In tennis news, Tunisian tennis star Anse Jabeur will on Friday play unseeded French woman Diane Parry, who beat Japanese qualifier Mai Hontama in the last 32. Third seed Anse Jabeur is through to the third round of Wimbledon on Wednesday, beating Polish qualifier Kasrana Kawa 6-4, 6-love. The Tunisian, who won the Berlin grass court title earlier this month, broke twice in the first set before steamrolling her opponent in the second. Ahead of her Friday's match against Parry, the world number two says she will continue to improve on her play as the competition progresses.
Yeah, I mean, I love grass, I love playing here.
I don't look at the draw much, but I know who's on my side, obviously. But yeah, I'm just going to keep focusing more on myself, more doing what I love to do and imposing my game. I'm just loving playing here, and I hope my game will keep improving for the next matches.
And on to basketball. The FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023 Africa qualifiers will be played in three host cities. The next 24 games of the Africa qualifiers will take place from July the 1st to the 3rd in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, Alexandria in Egypt, and Kigali in Rwanda. Palais de Sport Trècheville in Abidjan will host the second round of Group C, which consists of Angola, Central African Republic, Cote d'Ivoire, and Guinea. Group D, which comprises of DR Congo, Egypt, Kenya, and Senegal, will take place at the Burj Al Arab Indoor Hall, Alexandria, in the Egyptian coastal city of Alexandria. Group A, which have Cape Verde, Mali, Nigeria, and Uganda, and Group B with Cameroon, Rwanda, South Africa, and Tunis will take place at the BK Arena in Kigali. And now to some cricket news. The ICC Men's T20 World Cup Qualifier B2022, scheduled for Zimbabwe, will hold from the 11th to the 17th of July 2022. The 8-team tournament set for Queen's Sports Club and Bulawayo Athletic Club is one of the two global contests that together form the final stage of the qualification process for the ICC Men's T20 World Cup 2022 to be staged in Australia later in the year. Uganda is pooled in Group B with Hong Kong, Netherlands, and Papua New Guinea, and will open their qualification game against Hong Kong on the 11th of July. Lawrence Matlhane is a coach of the Ugandan Cricket Cranes.
It's a different cricket ball. It's different conditions. It will be very cold in Bulawayo. And we're working on a couple of different things. We've got a third game plan for T20. And hopefully we can execute it on the day.
And now to volleyball, where Tunisia's national volleyball team were knocked out in the quarterfinals of the volleyball tournament at the Mediterranean Games Orient 2022 on Thursday after losing to France 1-3. Tunisia will now play the placement match for the fifth place against Egypt, who were eliminated by Spain 2-3 at the same round. In cycling news, South Africa's Daryl Impey has been ruled out of the 2022 Tour de France after testing positive for COVID-19. Impey had been deemed a close contact of someone who had tested positive for coronavirus earlier this week and had not yet traveled out to Denmark to join his teammates. He was curiously absent from Wednesday's official team presentation in Copenhagen.
I'm battling to grasp it, to be honest. And it's like so weird, like feeling so healthy, feeling so ready to actually be left on the sidelines. You know, I'm going to be able to spend some time at home now with the family. You know, I didn't see them for many days last week. Just trying to avoid everything. And then I'm going to get extra time with them. So that's a bonus.
Impey has been replaced by Guy Neave in the lineup. And now to mixed martial arts. Nigerian-born New Zealander mixed martial artist Israel Adesanya plans to finish Jared Cannonier in their UFC 276 headliner on the 1st of July in Las Vegas as he aims to retain his middleweight belt. Speaking at his exclusive pre-fight interview, The Last Style Bender, as Adesanya is popularly called, believes he will be too much for his American opponent, the Killer Gorilla, when they face off at the Team Mobile Arena early Sunday morning, Nigerian time.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson O'Malley. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Also, please note, we've moved our programs to voaafrica.com. There you'll find your favorite VOA TV and radio shows, including the Sunny Side of Sports and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporty greetings. This is Toby Mison, 100-meter hurdles, African champion, African Games record holder, national champion, Commonwealth Games champion, Olympic finalist, and the Diamond League Trophy winner, 2021. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sport on The Voice of America.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. In professional golf, American JT Poston shot a 9-under par 62 Thursday to take the lead after one round of the John Deere Classic tournament. George McNeely reports from Silvis, Illinois.
Fresh off a tie for second place Sunday in Connecticut, JT Poston continues his quest for a second career PGA Tour victory.
Anytime you can have those rounds where you really get it going low and mistake-free, bogey-free is a bonus, and you know that's why you work at it and why you practice the way that we do.
Poston carded an eagle and seven birdies to claim the opening round lead with a 9-under par performance at the John Deere Classic.
I'm going to try and go out there and shoot another number like that, or shoot another solid 5-6-under or something like that, and stay aggressive and not just kind of coast. His control has been really good, so it's. I've been able to give myself a lot of those kind of 15-footers, 10-footers, and yeah. Today was the same.
Poston, 62, matched his career low, which he set in last week's opening round in Connecticut. You might say JT Poston is trending and holds a three-shot lead over Vaughn Taylor, who's making his 16th John Deere Classic start.
Been struggling a little bit physically, and I haven't been putting very well, but coming into here, I told myself, you know, I know this course, I know how to play it, just go do it.
Eight birdies and two bogeys left Taylor at 6-under par heading into round two. Three summers ago, Dylan Fratelli won the John Deere Classic, and an opening round afternoon play on Thursday reminded all of us he will be a force to contend with this week. Fratelli carded five birdies and no bogeys for a share of third place at -5.
It was nice to be out there making birdies in some really tough conditions. I started off poorly but played really well throughout the last two-thirds of the round.
You were a great defending champion. Unfortunately, you weren't able to defend that title. Do you feel like the getting that aspect of things out of the way and back here at a course you're familiar with where you've had great success put you in a good place this week?
Yeah, it's definitely coming back. I've only defended three titles before in my life, so it's a different vibe having a bunch of media exposure and people asking for autographs and time and dragging you in different directions, but I enjoyed it. Last year was nice to be celebrated 2 years after winning my first PGA Tour title, but it's definitely a bit more low-key this week, so it was easier to prep for the first round.
Also in a tie for third at 41 years young, Ricky Barnes. He's battled his share of injuries, and these days he plays little more than a handful of events each season. Covering the John Deere Classic for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely. in Silvis, Illinois.
Thanks, George. We heard George talking with South African golfer Dylan Fratelli in his report. Here are a few fun facts about Fratelli. He's 32 years old, and Dylan was born in Johannesburg, South Africa. Dylan Fratelli played college golf at the University of Texas, where he won the decisive match to lead his team to victory at the 2012 NCAA Championship. Dylan Fratelli turned professional after that NCAA title. And in addition to the 2019 John Deere Classic title, Dylan Fratelli has four international professional trophies. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world.
Rain on me.
Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Sirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
Hello, listeners. By the name Zamiko Apotfazila, Crested Cranes forward and Lady Doves FC Club forward. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Fazila and the Crested Cranes of Uganda are getting ready for their second appearance at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament, which kicks off on Saturday in Rabat, Morocco. Meanwhile, as Samson Omale mentioned earlier in the show, the defending champion Super Falcons of Nigeria will be bidding for their record-extending 10th trophy in Morocco. Super Falcons media officer Aluchi Tobex Tobochukwu says the team is confident of winning another title.
The mood in camp is very high. There is great optimism from every quarter, not only the players. The ladies just have only two things in mind. They want to go down there. They want to retain the title. And also, you know, in doing that, we're getting a slot at the World Cup. Nigeria is a big country since 1991, where we had the first edition of the World Cup. We have never missed any edition. And these players, they quite know that it is not in their set for them to break such a stainless record. Thankfully, the players are mixed with very experienced players and quality players that have also not played in the AFCON before. Players like Ashley Pontry, the Payne sisters, you know, and Ifeoma Onumanu, mostly the US-based players that are in camp right now. They have never been in AFCON. We also have the presence of the highest goal scorer in the Polish League, 20 goals in 20 matches. Very strong, reliable, and good player that has an eye for goals. I'm talking about Chinonyere Maclean. They haven't gone for the AFCON before now, so this is an opportunity for them to go there, make a mark, and make a difference. Most players, having spoken with them at one time or the other, they just want to win, and win. And in winning, you know, it helps us to actualize the twin objectives that we have, getting a slot for the World Cup and also winning the title for a 10th time. It is quite important that when we win this title for the 10th time, we want to set a record that will be very difficult for any African country to rub shoulders with, equal, not to talk of surpass it. You can look at the next country behind us to see that is following us in the number of times we have won this. Equatorial Guinea twice. You can compare 2 to 9 or 2 to 10 times. So we want to show the world that the Super Falcons of Nigeria They are the greatest team to have come out of Africa.
That's Aluchi Tobex Topachukwu, the media officer of Nigeria's national women's football team, the Super Falcons.
I am Aluchi Tobex Topachukwu, the media officer of Super Falcons of Nigeria, and vice chairman of Lagos One. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In European club football, one of the big recent transfers involves defender Antonio Rudiger moving from Chelsea to European champion Real Madrid. VOA's Gwen Ooten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. 29-year-old Antonio Rudiger has confirmed he signed a long-awaited four-year deal with Real Madrid. Team president Florentino Perez presented his new defender on the club's training ground, where Rudiger told reporters Real Madrid is all about winning.
This is what they demonstrate over the past years very often, especially like we all dream about winning a Champions League, and yes, like with a lot of doubts, like doubts from outside coming into, like, but still they did the job last year, and it's impressive.
The center back was with the Premier League club when they were eliminated by Real in the Champions League quarterfinals last year. But Rudiger says at the time, any thought that he would one day play for the Spanish club had not entered his mind.
By that time, nothing was clear. So that's why. And even if there would be something, would have been clear. But it was going in the direction. But at the end of the day, you have to be professional. And my target was to eliminate Real Madrid. And we tried our best, and it didn't go our way. But it was easy to focus on that game.
Initial talks between Rudiger and Real Madrid took place early last season, and the club's interest was reignited when Chelsea faced Real in this year's Champions League quarterfinals. Real Madrid's remarkable performance during the last two Champions League seasons helped Rudiger make his decision, and he admits he celebrated their 1-0 victory over Liverpool to clinch this year's Champions League title.
The final, like, I knew that I was going to be a Real Madrid player. So I was rooting for them. I was very happy that they won. Because I lost with my former team two finals against Liverpool. So I was very, very happy that Real Madrid beat them. And that we can compete next year for another two beautiful trophies.
Antonio Rudiger was born in Berlin to a German father and a Sierra Leonean mother, and has played 50 times for Germany since he made his football debut in 2014. He spent the last five seasons as a key player for Chelsea and won the Champions League title with the club in 2021. He's regarded as one of the most highly rated defenders in Europe and ends his career as a Chelsea player with 203 appearances and 12 goals across all competitions. Real Madrid rivals Barcelona also expressed interest in signing the star defender, but Rudiger says it was Real or nothing, and he's ready for the challenge of joining the La Liga and European champions.
Real Madrid is stacked with very, very good players, especially on, also as well on my position. But I am going confident. I'm looking confident going into this, and I think what do I bring is competition, which is healthy for everyone. So, and that keeps everyone going. And I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Rudiger will wear the number 22 for Real Madrid. His official Twitter page shows a video of him putting on his new jersey for the first time. And in English and Spanish, Rudiger wrote, "What a special day for me and my whole family. Already after one day, I realized what a big, big club this is. Thanks for the warm welcome." And he added, "I'm more motivated than ever." Antonio Rudiger is set to join Real Madrid on July 1st. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and have a nice weekend. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature profile, Yawafusu Larbi tells us about a Ghanaian professional basketball player who is currently based in Italy. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Ben Bento's career trajectory has been an interesting one. He shot up from 2nd D in Ghana's Western Region to the NBA draft via the U.S. college basketball circuit.
Ben Bento from Ghana and Providence College. Ghana flag flying just off to our left.
He went on from that point to play in the NBA for the Dallas Mavericks before he moved to Europe. In the new continent, he has played in Spain, in France, and has become a Greek champion and is now in Italy with the Olympia Milano, where he just won the championship and the cup.
Season went great. You know, the goal was three. Try to win EuroLeague, win the Italian Cup and the Italian League. But, you know, we came short in EuroLeague in the quarterfinals. But we won the cup and then we won the championship. So, you know, two out of three. I always say every time I step out there, I just always think about my lifestyle back here in Ghana way before I got a chance to go over there. So it's just that I use that as my fuel every time I get out there.
Bentel has had it tough, but it is just what he needed to keep him grounded in a fast-paced sport like basketball. Being the only Ghanaian to have been drafted is a big deal, and many young kids take inspiration from his journey to mold their careers. Bentel believes it is his job to work hard to inspire more kids.
Growing up, I also looked up to, you know, this guy over here, Mimi. But, you know, now that it's like, you know, he passed down the torch, it's my turn to, you know, keep that fire blazing. And having other kids look up to me and want to, you know, kids be in my DMs all the time, messaging me, like, how I got where I am and all of that. It's an inspiration for me because I know, like, okay, at least somebody want to be where I'm at.
The man comes from 2nd D Takrade, the twin city in Ghana's Western Region. It is a city that has molded many sportsmen, created a huge talent pool for the entertainment industry, and has become an important part of Ghana's subculture.
That's me. If you talk about Sekindi and Takrade, that's me. That's what defines me. That's where I grew up. That's part of me that will never, ever go away. That's a place I will always, you know, carry that on my shoulders. My best friends are there, you know, Redeemer, McLean. That's where we grew up. It's my backbone. My mom lives there. My brothers are there. All my childhood friends are there, too. So it's like every time I come home, I feel like not that I owe my city, but at the same time, I owe my city, you know? So it just means a lot to me just to be a Sekindi Takrade boy.
Basketball is still a fledgling sport in Ghana that is dying to take off. The country has never been represented in international basketball championships, and a few of the players from here are hoping that one day they can give off their best for the flag, and it is Bento's dream too.
For us to have a national team so I can play with a gun on my chest, you know, it's been a dream, but, you know, as much as we try to, as much as a lot of players that are playing overseas, college-wise, you know, second division or different divisions, whatever, are reaching out to me like, yo, like, do we have a national team? How do we contact? And I always try to tell them to contact Mimi. But if we can, my ideal plan is if we can, like, push towards having a national team and representing the country, and, like, me being in my prime, I can play for my country now, then later, it will be my dream.
The journey has been long, from 2nd D to Rhode Island, to Boston, to Panathinaikos, and to Milan. He has had his fair share of ups and downs, but now, he can crack a smile. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
And that wraps up the July 1st edition of the show. Have a good weekend, everyone. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports!
I get it.